Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Beautiful, beautiful Ladesia. Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon to you, Zama. How are you this afternoon?
Very well, thank you. Are you well?
Good. I'm well, thank you. I'm not complaining.
Fantastic. Great to speak to you once again. Now, last week we talked about privacy versus secrecy in the context of a marriage relationship. It was a fantastic conversation. Now, we stay on the same subject, except that today we're talking about the parent-child relationships and want to determine what are healthy privacy boundaries in a parent-child relationship. I think this has got to be very interesting for the listeners as well. So, first off, Desia, is a child even entitled to to privacy in their parents' house?
Yes, I think a child is entitled to privacy. I think everybody is entitled to privacy because privacy is age appropriate. You know, when a little one is, you know, if you bought, let's say, your toddler or your 7-8-year-old, and then they just want to loll around in the bath a little bit, the bathroom door can be open, you know, because you want to hear that there's no harm or no danger. They're not like bubbling in the water or maybe, you know, making a mess in the bathroom. So that's age-appropriate privacy where the door is open. They may say, oh, mommy, I just want to lay a bit, whatever. Then you'll dry the child off, you'll dress the child, whatever. So the privacy is less when a child is young. But now, when a child is in their teen years, you know, there's no reason for the bathroom door to be demanded to be left open, or when they are dressing in their bedroom, for the room to be open where anybody can just, you know, walk past or walk in, even though it's their siblings. They are getting to know themselves, their bodies are changing, their relationship with their bodies are changing. They are normalizing their development, and they are feeling self-conscious. So there are healthy areas of privacy, you know, because privacy is just is one thing. You know, secrecy, I know you're going to go there in a moment, is a different ball game.
All right. And so, yeah, as you know, as you talk about privacy, which I think you've explained quite well. Now, secrecy, though, in as far as in a home environment for a child, how would that look like? I'm trying to imagine that.
You know, the thing about secrecy, I mean, just the word in its own, it's something that is kept in the shadows. It's something that's locked away that is usually has an illicit connotation with reference to children. It's usually to do with some form of harm or practices that are age inappropriate involving a child. So it could be something like a parent that maybe, you know, maybe beats the child and then swears the child to secrecy to say, when your mom or dad comes back, I don't want them to know that I gave you a hiding. Okay? So that child is now forced into a code of silence. So just from maybe from a punishment point of view, maybe the parents don't agree on the way the one parent corrects the children. And then the children might be forced to say, you know, then the father or the mother will say, like, why are the kids so extra quiet today? But those children dare not speak because the other adults will get, you know, a hold of them, or there will be repercussions. So that is one thing. Secrecy can also come in, sadly, with sexual exploitation of a child. Where either, God forbid, within the home or without, you know, where an age-inappropriate contact has been made with a child of minor years. And there's a big swell in the world for people who were previously taken, were named as pedophiles, and pedophilia is something frowned upon. I mean, even God in his word says, you know, they exploit their children and they burn their children and they do all sorts of abominations with their children. God frowned upon the nations who did these things, and judgments were rained down upon them. But this is in vogue now, and it's growing in popularity, where people want to turn their perversion to normalize their perversion. But there's still a shame attached. So the child is now sworn into secrecy for inappropriate contact in whatever context it is. You know, nobody can just unnecessarily and over familiarize themselves with your child. You know, if you are uncomfortable with the degree of contact that anybody is having with your child, even if it's in front of you, just unnecessarily touching, rubbing, stroking, oh, come sit on auntie's lap, you know, and let me be very clear. People who have got minor attraction are not always male. Sadly, there is a rise of women who are exploiting boys, especially boys in their early teen, tween years. You know, when they're just starting to figure themselves out and their sexuality has been awakened. There are predatory females out there as well. There are also same-sex minor attraction, where a female may target your daughter. A male may target your son. So, you know, these things exist, and we are children of the book, and we are children of God, but we mustn't be blind to the wickedness that exists in our age. And we don't like to listen to these things because we try to spiritualize everything away, and we try to, you know, feel like it can't be happening, but it is happening. And the Bible tells us, and, you know, Ephesians is beautiful, and I love it. I'll just share two texts very quickly. Ephesians 5, verse 15 says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." And God does not want his inheritance. You see, his children are an inheritance from the Lord. He does not want the enemy to sow into their formative years and their tender years these tears of darkness. Because when you mess with a person sexually at an inappropriate age, you are actually messing with the image of God that God has placed upon that person. Because it takes us back to Genesis. Let us make man in our image. So now the enemy wants to sow in confusion and, you know, identity issues and things like that. So that's the thing about secrecy. And okay, let me stop there. You carry on. Let's go on to the next questions.
No. It's you know, it's very, very important. Whether you know the points that you've made, Desia. I think that you know, the spirit leads at times, and I know that many parents would want to hear that, and children as well. Now, should then a child be able to keep secrets in general from a parent?
You know, I'm going to share something with you. All children keep secrets. And not all secrets are bad secrets. You know, sometimes a child is just, maybe they've seen something. They have heard something. And they know that they don't want to, how can I say, you know, the loyalty between children is very deep. And so, I mean, I know something that happened to a friend of mine when she was a teenager. And I've never told anybody about it. I only told my dad, and that was a few weeks before he died. Because she told it to me in secret. And it was something, in hindsight, I never should have kept a secret. But the repercussions of it were so deep and so great because somebody assaulted this friend of mine, and it was an in-law family member. Let me just be let me tell everyone the secret now, so y'all don't know who I'm talking about. And this messed up my friend, but she begged me, please don't let anybody know. what happened to me. Because this person, her family begged, swore her to secrecy about the assault. Because they said he was engaged to be married into a family member, because they said, where will this family member find a husband if this man doesn't marry her?
Mm-hmm.
And he came after the younger sister.
Sure.
And did this to my friend.
Mm.
So these are the things that children, that we can carry. It's a thing I've carried for over 40 years. You know, so the children do have secrets. There are other things that they do as well, but I'm just talking about some of the, you know, just an example. They do. So as sweet and as loving and all of that, and children know how to play the game. So I'm not saying distrust your children, but they know what you want to hear.
True.
And sometimes if we don't provide an open environment where a child can be less secretive, and recognize the danger, then you, they will know how to be and show you a side that you need to hear to soothe you. So then they master in hypocrisy. So they are one type to you and another type out there. Then it's like, oh no, my child could never. No, yes, your child could, and your child probably is and probably did. So it's important and it's incumbent upon parents to, and I know it's scary, to say no topic is off the table.
Yeah.
No topic.
It's quite scary.
No matter how terrifying, not just scary. Let me wait, you lead on.
Now, you know, there's you know, in a setup where there's both parents, a mother, father, and children. If a child tells one parent a secret, is it betrayal if that parent shares the secret with their spouse?
You know, when I was looking through the questions in preparation for our chat this afternoon, I kind of wondered, you know, what possible secret could that be? And my mind didn't reach to anything. I didn't want to sort of like be plucking up ideas. But if say it's something cute.
Yeah.
And your daughter's, let's say, I don't know, 12, 13. And she says, you know, mommy, there's this boy that I like at school or at church or whatever. I've got a crush or whatever like that. And I want you to keep it a secret. Those are sweet, innocent, developmental stage secrets, if you know what I'm saying. But the problem becomes when, or the challenge becomes when the parent has to harbor secrets to shield, makes themselves like they fuse their relationship with their children. So it's maybe it's dad and kids against mom, or mom and kids, and then dad is on the outside. So dad is the one that would disapprove, won't, you know, will frown upon and all of that. So you go, you know, dress like this, wear your tracksuit and whatever, but put your club clothes in the bag. And so you say, you give, how can I say, your blessing for rebellious behavior. Okay? So some parents do that. They will say, oh no, they're only young ones. And you know, your father won't approve of you going to so-and-so's party. So I bought you an outfit for that party and I left it by Auntie So-and-so's house. So leave here because you're going to Auntie So-and-so. But whereas you're not going to Auntie So-and-so, that's the pick-up and drop-off point. And so you create a network of deception in your house. But the problem is that, and the word of God tells us that every secret thing that comes out in into the light. And then it oftentimes it causes such a fracture in the family.
Mm-hmm.
And such distrust, in fact, between the parents and the spouses, because of if you want to befriend your children to that extent that you cover up and you even endorse behaviors that you know are contrary to God's will for our lives, and you want to sow that in your children.
Mm. Yeah. And God forbid that anything should happen of that nature in any of our families. Now, here's a very hot subject in families these days. Should a parent be able to go through a child's phone, like social media? Is it a violation of privacy?
Well, I'm going to be an old school parent and in a 21st century setting, and I'm going to say no. Those are your children.
Yeah.
Fight for your children. The devil's not sparing them.
Mm.
He's coming against them with every wrathful, vengeful thing because he knows his time is short.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to plunge them into the deepest, darkest depths of hell. He wants to exploit them. He wants to identity, gender, confuse them. He wants them depressed. He wants them cutting themselves. He wants them demonized because they feel so isolated. They're so sucked into the cyber world where everything is online and they don't really see people in real life. But even if they do see people in real life, people are so in your face. And the post-COVID world is a treacherous place. I say, and I'm not meaning it in the literal sense, if needs be, we need to be kicking in the doors. We need to be turning out those cupboards. We need to know what's going on. We need to monitor. We need to fight for our children because these children are an inheritance from the Lord.
Oh, yeah.
They are the quivers that are placed in your bow that you're supposed to be shooting over to defend and set up a banner of righteousness.
Yeah.
These are your righteous quivers. So why are you just letting an enemy come in and just snap your quivers and break your children and just do with them whatever they want to do? No, you defend your children. You are allowed, and I'm not talking about crushing a child's spirit.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm talking about saying to the child, I'm going to advocate for you when you don't seem to understand why this is dangerous for you. I'd rather live with you being upset with me for a day or two, that you couldn't go there and I took you for a drug test and I did this and I did the other thing. I'd rather you feel that I was unfair to you than for me to allow you to do whatever you want to do. And that breeds insecurity. You know, people think that discipline is harmful. Children respond to good discipline. You know, a discipline that comes from a place of love because it sets a boundary for them.
Yes.
A child whose life has no boundaries set is a child that is on a path to self-destruction.
Mm-hmm.
There are many examples of that because the child just keeps going and going. And it's like nobody cares that I'm about to fling myself into this or that pursuit. There's just nobody that cares and it breeds depression. There's just so much that goes, into it. So I say, you fight for your kids. You go through those bags. You look through their social media because these people who are trolling for little girls and boys and asking them to send them photos of this and pictures of that and slowly initiating them into pornographic lifestyles or sending them pornographic material of their adult selves or not so adult selves, because even children are now, abusing children.
Mm.
We need to be on guard. And I love Ephesians 6. I had a special prayer service with my grandchildren before they went to school on the 17th of Jan.
Yeah.
And we had a communion service the night before school. That was the 16th.
Mm-hmm.
And I did the therefore take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand the evil day and having done all to stand.
Mm-hmm.
And I prayed over them the feet shod with the gospel of peace and put on the helmet of salvation and the breast the, let me just get my words, but where is it now? Ephesians 6:17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with prayer and supplication. Anyway, that particular imagery of the soldier, from the helmet of salvation all the way down to the gospel of peace, the shoes, dedicating their minds, their hearts, their, you know, their everything to God, because we have to protect our children with our prayers and with practical investigation. If your child alters in any way, you must be mindful that something is different about this child.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what? This is such an important topic. We have actually just only looked at the time now. We've literally spent all of our time and we are not even done yet. But you know what? Thank you so, so much, Desia. Absolutely important topic.
Welcome.
I do hope that the parents and the children take note of the wise words that you have shared this afternoon. Thank you so much.
Amen. Thank you so much for having me. God bless. Bye-bye.
Blessings. Thank you.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.